All right. Thank you, Sister Leah. That's a good message and song. Time come in Israel when the Lord told them he didn't have any delight in their sacrifice and offerings. He wanted their heart. He wanted the real thing. And to be genuine to the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of John, Gospel according to John, chapter 18 and 19. I'm going to read a few verses out of both chapters. And I guess this is not a Christmas message per se, maybe next Sunday. You've had a lot of good Christmas music and appreciate all those, the choir and the specials pointing that direction. Wonderful truth to be singing about. Wants to go to John chapter 18, and I'm going to read a few verses and a story you should be very familiar with. We'll start off here in about verse 28 of John 18. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. Here's a big hypocrisy here. Fixing to frame an innocent man, but they don't want to be defiled walking into the Gentile court, the Romans. But that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Kind of dodged it, didn't they? Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Shows they had an agenda to kill him right there. Verse 32, That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. They're fulfilling prophecy. Jesus had already told them back in chapter 12, If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. He's talking about being lifted up on the cross. Cross was spoken of in Psalms 22,000 years before Jesus was born. So God knew what was going on here. Verse 33, Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, and this is probably the verse I want to spend some time on in a message this morning, verse 36. Then Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. I hope you'll underline the word now. I'm going to go back to it. I want to jump over into chapter 19 and pick it up also. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. He said that three times, by the way. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on kingdom against kingdom. In Matthew 24, speaking of the nations and the end time signs, the Lord Jesus Christ said the time would come that nation would rise against nation and kingdom would rise against kingdom. And certainly we've been seeing that for many years and know that to be true. I don't know much about it. I never watched the original Star Wars, but I understand they got the movie out now called The Jedi, or The Return of the Jedi, or something like that. I'm not trying to incriminate you, but I'm just saying to you, it's a bunch of junk. By the way, it ought to be cheap to make them, because they make them with the computer stuff. So I don't want to spend my time sitting down watching somebody else's imagination play out on a computer. Just help yourself. That didn't cost you nothing. But the truth of the matter is, it's kind of a kingdom against kingdom. And in a real big sense, the devil is programming a lot of people on planet Earth today to accept that kind of stuff, where the real stuff is right here in the Bible, that you could go by and find out the truth. Now look at it here with Pilate. Pilate got word. You see it here in verse 7 and 8. The Jews answered him, "We will have a law that the law that he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Boy, that shot. He heard them saying he made himself the Son of God. See, Pilate had his doubts. In his heart, Pilate was worried. In his heart, he was scared. You know what? He was probably the first politician got in trouble by being PC, politically correct. He was going on the polls. He was going for the voters. He was going to please the Jews, and he knew he was wrong. The scripture says he knew for envy they delivered him. He knew what he was doing was wrong. Three times he said, "This man's guilty of nothing. I find no fault in him." And yet he goes right along with it, right along with it. You ever wonder what happens in Washington, D.C., how they keep going along with it? In my mind, I wonder, don't they know better? Yes, they do. They know better, just like Pilate knew better. Notice the statement here. He asked Jesus, "Whence art thou?" Said, "What'd you do? You know, this is you're a Jew, and these people are against you." Then he said, "From whence art thou?" When they said he's the Son of God, it scared Pilate. That was an alien question. He was saying, "Did you come in on a UFO? Have you stepped in from another dimension? Whence art thou?" He had some worries. He had some doubts about it, and rightfully so. But I want us to see what we can learn now from the text. In verse 36 of chapter 18, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews." And the word I want you to see was now. "But now is my kingdom not from thence." Not now, he's saying. What do we learn from it? We learn his kingdom's not now. You go around blaming God for everything in this old sin-cursed world, you're wrong. No, the devil is usurping the kingdom today. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he's the god of this world. Jesus said over in John 14, "The prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me." You need to lay it at the devil's feet. He is the one ruling the kingdoms. He is the one guiding his politicians today, and he's in control. He's in control. And you say, "Well, why? How did he get in control?" Well, you turn back to Luke chapter 4, and you can get a little truth on this. You got to remember going all the way back to mom and dad in the garden, brother. You got to remember when they sold the dominion out to Satan there. And in Luke chapter 4, you find Jesus in the wilderness. In verse 2, he's tempted 40 days of the devil and hungered. Now in verse 3, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command the stones that they be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all," watch the word kingdom. Boy, that word's in the Bible a lot. You do a study on the kingdoms in the Bible, you'll learn something. It says, "All the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." He could show him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Oh, yes, the Bible's up to date. "And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them." Now, here's the part I want you to get, for here's what he says. "For that is delivered unto me." Somehow, in the economy of God, somehow because of the fall in the garden, somehow Satan is given the power, is delivered unto him, and he's trying to tempt Jesus, saying, I've got it, it's given to me, I'll give you the power, I'll give you the glory if you do one thing, fall down and worship me. He tried to get Jesus to do something that Jesus was going to do in the long run, but it would have been wrong to do it then. See, that's what the Lord Jesus said to Pilate. He said, but now is my kingdom not from thence. Not now. If this was my kingdom, he said, my servants would fight. Now, you know what? Most of us, including me, would feel better if we could fight. That's right. We all feel like Peter when he drew his sword and whacked off the fellow's ear. I'd feel good about that. Yeah, but I can't, because it's not the right timing. A mechanic said one time, if you can get gas and fire together, you can run an engine. Well, that's true, but there's something else you got to have. You got to have the gas, you got to have the fire, but you got to have the right timing. If you don't get them together right, you got nothing. Understand what I just said? And the timing is where we're in trouble with the Lord most of the time. Jesus said, not now. He's actually being predictive in this by saying not now. He is actually saying it will happen later. Down the road, it's going to come. Down the road, something else is going to happen. Down the road, it's going to change. But like Peter, we'd like to do something now. But we restrain. The Lord is holding us back and saying no. And he makes us do something awful hard on the flesh. Turn the other cheek. Walk the second mile. Those kind of things. When I got saved, I heard the preacher preach against going to Hollywood movies. So that was over 50 years ago. And I haven't been to one. I have watched them on TV some. I don't like the modern stuff, so I don't watch it. I would recommend to you some of the old black and white movies that back when Hollywood, a few folks out there had some morals. Long time ago. And I would recommend to you, it's Christmas time, I'd recommend you catch the movie. They play it every year. It's A Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. Got a great principle in it. You ought to watch it. But there was another movie called, and it was a story of World War I hero Sergeant York. Sergeant York in black and white. And the hero, of course, Sergeant York, was played by Gary Cooper. And he was a good actor, whatever else he was, I don't know. But I liked the part in there because, see, it put an emphasis on Sergeant York getting saved. He was a ruffian, a plowboy back in those days, but he got saved. He got converted, and boy, it showed a real change in him when he got saved. And before he got saved, he'd gotten sweet on a girl. He wanted to go visit her, and he found another guy there, and so he kind of got rough with him and run him off. But then he got saved, got converted, and he came back, and he was talking with the guy again, and the guy said to him, basically, there's nothing, if you want to beat me up, go ahead, there's nothing restraining you. And I like the way they talked in the movie, old country talk. Gary Cooper said, yay, there is. What he meant was, now I got a restrainer on the inside. There is somebody holding me back. That's why I don't beat you up. And I'm being restrained. And I want to say to you today that all the wrong we see and all the way we feel about it, we're still being restrained. Somebody on the inside is holding us back. And I want to say in this passage, I see what the Lord Jesus is saying. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight. And he says, but now is my kingdom not from thence. It's not now. Now I can learn something from this statement. I learned the kingdom is not now. I also learned, though, that God is still sovereign, because in the word now is the prediction that God knows how it's going to turn out. He's predicting how it's going to turn out. You read over in the book of Daniel over there where Nebuchadnezzar got so proud of what he'd built. He'd forgot that God put him up there, and God was using him as a chastening rod upon Israel. And he got so proud, and Daniel went to him and interpreted his dream and told him, you better break off your ways, you better change. And yet one day came when Nebuchadnezzar came out there and looked at all his kingdom, and he said, look what I've done. And immediately God struck him down, remember? And God taught him a lesson. And if you were to go over, and I'm not going to do it for time's sake, but over in Daniel chapter 4, after the Lord brings Nebuchadnezzar back to his right mind, after he's brought him by, he put him in the field eating like a cow, but after he brought him back and put him back on, he reminded him of the lesson. He said, you've learned that I rule in the kingdom of men, and I can set up the basest, not the best, not the good, but the basest of men. Now, do you have trouble with that? I have a little trouble with that. God, why do you let an evil man rule? Well, Nebuchadnezzar was a rough guy, but God used him for a purpose. God's used some other rough fellows for his purpose. He may be using one now. In America, I hope so. I hope so. I'll say this, we've got enough evil around today. Never seen so much. I've never seen government corrupted like it is. Never seen our basic institutions sold out like they have. It is amazing. And the media's help. The media wants to run the country, and most of them are brainwashing you, whether you know it or not. What they do is they put out the fake news, and then they run a poll to see if it caught on. Then they tell you what the poll says, so you'll go along with them. By the way, the polls was wrong in the election. They might still be wrong. But you're seeing a lot of stuff. I mean, we're seeing sexual abuse weaponized. Now, I do believe a lot of it is true. A lot of women been abused. By the way, ladies, let me tell you, read the Bible to tell you how to act. I won't go into it, but you read the Bible and find out what constitutes rape. Getting quiet in here, but let me tell you. Let me tell you. Read in the Old Testament. If the maid is in the city and she don't cry out, she's guilty. If she's in the field and she can't get anybody to hear her, then she's innocent. Read your Bible. It's got every answer you'll ever need in it from cover to cover. Amen? It's in there. But it's been weaponized today. And we just come out in the news that a lot of the women got paid off. Did you see that? Big money. Thousands. Paid to do what? To lie. You say women wouldn't lie. Really? Did you ever read about Potiphar's wife and Joseph? Did she lie? You don't tell me women don't lie when you just went through the last election. Amen. Come on. But this world is full of evil today. Man, it's full of evil. Here's what's happened, folks. They have kicked God out of their philosophy. And when you kick God out of your philosophy, you've got a void that the devil's going to fill with something. He's going to bring something in. He's going to bring you a substitute into that void. And that's what we're seeing right now. I saw a stat this week. I hated to see it. It says that children 10 to 12 years old are one of the highest statistics of tuning in to pornography. Boy, that's a commentary on our nation. It's a commentary on parents that let them carry a little TV in their hands unrestricted. It's ridiculous what is going on. Hollywood full of evil, popping evil in. And by the way, that's the biggest hypocrisy you ever want to see with them pointing the finger when most of the sexual abuse and the pornography and the pedophilia is started in California. Most evil group you want to mention out there. Certainly is. But when you kick out God, something's going to take its place. What's happened in America, kids have been taught they evolved. Kids have been taught that the environment is God. Mother Earth, Gaia Earth, that's the name of it. I like that bumper sticker on the car that said, I spit on your mother today. Talk about earth being your God. Amen. Hey, it gets down where you live. I drive home on Highway 544. I do it generally several times a day, back and forth to church and everywhere. It's the only way out where we live, just about. 544, two-lane road. Traffic moves on pretty good, getting thicker, of course. I was coming here the other day, just a few days ago. I was coming down the road, and traffic began to stop. Two or three cars ahead of me began to stop. I saw the oncoming traffic stop, and the first car had on his flashers, stopped in the middle of the road, and he stopped my traffic. He had his hand up, stopping the other traffic. He was out in the road. It was a man, I'm going to guess, in his middle to late 20s, and a young boy, probably a teenager with him. Then I saw why we all had to stop. He had picked up a turtle. I'm not lying to you. On the side of the road, and he was carrying that turtle ever so gently across the road. Somehow he knew when he saw that turtle that it wanted to cross the road. So he stopped traffic both directions to take the turtle across the road. I'm glad I was not the next car to him. Woo. Now I'm going to put my hand on the Bible, what I'm fixing to say. He got back in the car, and we all got to moving again. Either the next day or the next, I was driving by the same place, and I saw the turtle on the other side of the road like he wanted to cross back over. I didn't stop and help him. This world's gone crazy. Bunch of idiots, stupid. That's what it is. It's amazing. But when you kick God out, you're going to get a dose of that. You're going to get a substitute. You're going to get something else with values that aren't values. But he was doing a good deed. Stop. I don't know if the turtle was hitchhiking or what he was doing. Crazy, isn't it? Well, I do see the sovereignty of God, though, in this. He can intervene. I mentioned the election. Mark this, because I don't take a lot of time. I'm not even going to turn to it. I'm just going to tell you what it says. There's a story over in 2 Kings. You read about it in chapter 9, where God sends in one of his preacher boys. And he runs in and he anoints a rough guy, probably in a beer room, drinking. His name's Jehu. Jehu is a fellow that's spoken of in the Bible. He's kind of, I kind of like him, because it says Jehu drove furiously. He was a chariot driver. He probably didn't keep the speed limit. He drove furiously. And this man goes in, sent by the prophet, to go in and anoint him as king. You see, Ahab has died. God has killed him and let the dogs lick his blood out there at Naboth's vineyard. Jeroboam has taken his place. And Jeroboam's been fighting with the Syrians. And he's wounded a little bit and he's laying up. But Ahab's wife, Jezebel, is still in the cabinet. She is pretty much ruling things. Yes, it's her son on the throne, but she's pretty much the queen. And she is there, and Jehu is anointed king, and he turns on the house of Ahab like God wants him to bring God's vengeance. So Jehu comes into Jezreel on his chariot, and Jehoram comes out to stop him, and old Jehu just shoots him with a bow and arrow. But he drives on in, and he looks up at the building, and there on the balcony is Jezebel. Read this story. I'm just giving you the highlights of it. She's up on the balcony, and she's painted up. The scripture says she's painted up. You ever hear anybody say she paints up like Jezebel? You ever hear nobody names their daughter Jezebel? Right? Some of them act like Jezebel, but none of them have been named Jezebel. And then she tied her head, sort of a crown thing in the hair. And she's up there. When Jehu comes riding in furiously in his chariot, she hollers down at him, and Jehu sees her. And he says, "Who's up there?" And two or three eunuchs look down, and he says, "Throw her down." And they threw her down. She was treaded under the horse's hooves, and when they went back to bury her, they couldn't find anything but the hands that had written the evil note against Naboth and the skull that had devised the plan. You know the story. But there's something interesting about it. I'm talking about the sovereignty of God. God in his sovereignty overthrew Jezebel. She was supposed to be the next ruler. She was the ruler. She was pulling the strings from behind. She was in the government cabinet, so to speak. Do you know, in the last election, at the convention, when Hillary was nominated to be the candidate for the party, that the man that spoke the introductory speech introducing her did not know what he was saying, but he used words out of 2 Kings chapter 9. I'm talking to you about the sovereignty of God. Jehu looked up and said, "Who's on my side?" Those eunuchs looked down. He said, "Throw her down." The scripture says they threw her down. Do you know the man used the theme in his speech introducing Hillary? They threw her down. He said it over and over. He was talking about her losing the election when she ran against Obama. He was talking about before that, and he was talking about after that, talking about the Benghazi spectacle with the men getting killed over there. And he kept saying, "And they threw her down, and they threw her down, and they threw her down, but she's coming back." That was his theme of his message. Look it up. You can look it up on those gadgets that you use. I wonder what's going on. I see the sovereignty of God in that. Because the poll said she was going to win. But they threw her down. And they had fireworks planned for the inauguration. They even had a little crown they were going to put on her head. Talking about a tired up head. I don't care whether you like me or not. I've been here so long, I can leave, and you might be happy, and I might be happier. Don't worry about it. I'm just telling you like it is. Amen? I see God in that stuff. I see his hand. I see his power. I see he's still in charge. Say, "Well, how long?" Well, Jesus referred to a time coming. "But now is my kingdom not from hence," but he's saying one day it will be. Not now, but one day it will be. I read over in Revelation chapter 6 where the martyrs are under the throne crying out to God, "How long, Lord, before you avenge us on them that dwell on the earth? How long?" And he said, "A little while, until others get killed like you were killed." And I can't take time to tell you, but if you want to find out how they were killed, they were beheaded. And if you go over to chapter 20 and verse 4, you'll find out they were beheaded, and that's what the martyrs, the tribulation martyrs, was doing under the altar on the fifth seal, when the fifth seal is open in Revelation chapter 6. And what is going on there is they're waiting, and they're tired of waiting. I'll be honest with you, most of us are getting tired of waiting, but Lord, come on. Come on. Is that part of your prayer? It is mine. Come on, Lord. John the Revelator said, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." It's been the cry of God's people through the history. Come quickly. He hadn't come, but he is coming. But he is. He's coming. Beheading seems to be an awful death of the tribulation period. I saw or read recently, there's certain places in Africa, certain African states, we call them states, where the heathen still offer children sacrifice. You know that? I'm not talking about babies. America's doing that to a great degree. I'm talking about kidnapping kids, school-age kids. And I saw where a little boy and his sister was kidnapped. Here's what they want them for. They want to get their blood. Sometimes they cut their tongue out or cut their head off. And they put it in this satanic ritual with their heathen gods, and it's supposed to give them power. Like if they want the power to speak with power, they cut a tongue out. They drain the blood. They offer the human blood. And of course, the devil's behind that. The demons are behind that. That's their religion. And I read recently where this little boy and his sister on the way to school, both of them were kidnapped. The little boy woke up later. They had taken a lot of his blood, but he was still alive. But lay inside of him was his little sister with her head missing. They had taken her head. Awful world. Awful mess. Awful stuff going on. Tribulation period, that's going to be magnified. Right now we know Islam is chopping off heads. We know guillotines are even being stored up in some governments, even in America. Something bad is down the road, folks. I hope you're saved. I hope you're not going to be here when it happens. Hope you're going to get out, caught out when the trumpet sounds. One day, this now is going to be a new now. This now, Jesus said, not now. But now is my kingdom not from thence, but he's saying the day is going to come, and I'll show you where it's going to come. You turn over to Revelation chapter 12, or let me read it to you. By the way, you kids that are interested in Star Wars and the Last Jedi or whatever he is, you want to see real war? Read Revelation chapter 12. There's going to be war in the heavens. It's not going to be with some laser beam sword. I read in Revelation chapter 12, where the old great dragon is cast out, that old serpent called the devil. It says, in fact, back it up to verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. This is future. This is going to happen. But I'm moving on down. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, what's the next word? Now. Uh-oh, here's the now Jesus was talking about. Here's the one, here's the new now. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Jesus said, not my kingdom now, but here he's saying the kingdom of our God is coming and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. This is when the devil gets kicked out, when war is in heaven. And when God gets ready to set up his kingdom. If you were to go over to chapter 11 and verse 15 Revelation, it says the seventh angel sounded. There was a great voice in heaven saying the kingdoms of this world, watch it now, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. His Christ. The devil is a Christ, but not God's Christ. The kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever, like the choir was singing, forever. But it's not that time yet. Jesus told Pilate, not yet. Pilate was scared. He was worried. If you don't know Jesus, you ought to be scared. You ought to be worried. There's going to be a kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be a kingdom switch. And the Lord Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. Any day now. Oh yeah, looking ahead, the kingdoms of this world, plural, got an S on them. Kingdoms of this world gonna become the kingdoms of God in his Christ. All the devil offered Jesus, all the glory and all the power, if you would just bow down and worship me. Oh no, I'm glad Jesus turned him down. But he's coming back to rule and to reign. And oh yes, there will be a little fight that takes place before it takes place, before the kingdom comes. A little fight, not much. You read about it in Revelation 19. God's going to catch up his army from the earth and bring them back, following him on a white horse, and he's going to put down the devil and all the nations the devil has been able to gather against Jerusalem and against the Creator. Isn't it amazing the Creator's got to come back and fight his creation to set up his kingdom? It'd be the day his servants fight. Some of you read it, and I don't even remember the name of it, but there's a little book, two or three of them has been out like this. One I read, His little boy that died, I forget where it was, a car accident or sickness or what, but the doctor said he was dead. And for a pretty good little while. And then it was one of those things where he revived up and lived. And there's a book about it out there. I don't remember the name of it. His father was kind of a lay preacher. He did, I think, carpenter work, handyman, but pastoring a little church too. And the little boy, after he revived up and came back, started talking to his parents about deep things of the Bible, things that he was just too young to know. And one of the things he told them was, I met my sister in heaven. And they said, what do you mean? See, he didn't know it, but the mother had a miscarriage before she had him. And that little sister was in heaven. And when he got there, according to his story, he found out he had a sister in heaven. And he came back talking about his sister. He came back talking about other things. And his daddy, being a preacher, knew the Bible good enough to know he's right on, and yet he couldn't have got that. He couldn't have studied that. That's deeper stuff. How could he know that? He didn't get that in Sunday school. And one of the things he said, the dad said one day we were driving down the road and said he was talking to me about the kingdom to come, Jesus' kingdom on earth. And he said to me, he said, Daddy, he said, you know you're going to be in the Lord's army and one day you're going to fight. He said, my little boy didn't get that out of the Bible. He didn't read the book of Revelation. He didn't understand that. I had not taught him that. And he said, yeah, son, I do know that. That's going to come one day. I'm going to be one of the Lord's servants. I'm going to come back in the Lord's army and we're going to set up his kingdom on planet earth. I want to say to you today, don't look at the foolishness of this world trying to sell you a ticket to see the kingdoms fight. The kingdoms have been fighting. The devil is in charge, but he's about to lose his throne. Jesus is coming back. Now I ask you, do you know Jesus? You're going to be on one side or the other. You're going to be represented on one side or the other. Have you ever trusted Christ? Have you ever been born again in the family of God? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Oh, listen, not only do I get my soul saved, but I get my future secured. I'm on the winning side. Jesus willingly went to the cross and he told Pilate, this is the reason I came. This is for this cause I came. Pilate was pretty scared he was making a mistake, and he did make a mistake. You don't make that mistake today. To receive Christ is to get on his side and to rule and reign with him on planet earth in his kingdom. That's what the book of Revelation promises. Do you know him as Savior? I pray you do. Let's bow our heads. Well, our heads are bowed. How many of you can say, preacher, I think I know what you're talking about. And the best thing I know about it is I belong to him. I'm on his side. He called me and I said yes to him and he's my Savior. And if I died today, I'd go to be with him. Can you say that by the uplifted hand all over the building? All over the building. Can you do it? Can you do it? Think you may put them down. Are you here this morning? You'd say, preacher, I think I know something about what you're talking about. And preacher, I look around and see the corruption of this old world and how awful it is getting. And I realize it's not God's kingdom ruling now. It must be the devil ruling now. And preacher, pray for me that I'll come to Christ and be ready to meet him when he comes. Would you slip that hand up this morning? Would you do it? I'm not saved. I'd like to be. Would you slip that hand up? Very well. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, we come to you. Lord, we don't get very many people to come hear the gospel anymore. We're satisfied that we're saved, but we don't care that much that others seems like. And Father, it's a hard case out there. They're brainwashed with the movies. They're brainwashed with the corruption. They're brainwashed with all that's going on. They've got a void in their life. They've kicked God out. And something's taken his place. I pray, Father, for the invitation right now. I pray that you'd help those that are in this building saved to serve you, to stay faithful to you. And I pray if there's one in our midst this morning unsaved, that they'd realize they can come and receive Christ today and leave this building a new creature, changed with a hope they never had before, an assurance that heaven's your home. Bless the invitation now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll leave that seat and come down the aisle and receive Christ, you can do it right now. I pray you will.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that
will you come?
Thou bidst me come.
Which side are you on?
Thee, O
which kingdom
Lord
represents you? Let's bow our heads a moment. The invitation's still open. You can still step out and come, whatever God's asked you to do. Could be to move a membership, or maybe you've been saved and never baptized. Whatever God's asking you to do, you can do it. Most important is knowing you're saved. When the last inning is played, when the last score's in, you going to be on the winning side or not? Every now and then God intervenes in the rule of Satan on earth. It's obvious when he does. I pray that happened in the election, but I'm seeing a lot of awful stuff happening. We do have a man, he may be a Jehu, in office that's trying to do some things right, but boy, every liberal, every crooked, corrupt thing in the world is against him from keeping some of those promises. But God put Jehu on the throne. He threw Jezebel down. And for a while, Israel was blessed. Didn't last long. If you want to put a graft on the Old Testament, it'd go up and down, zigzag, up and down. Israel gets right with God, they go up. They get wrong with God, they go down. All through the Old Testament. That's pretty much the graft of the world. Pretty much checks out that way. God in his sovereignty still allows men to choose and suffer the consequences of their choices. It certainly happens that way. On an individual basis, on a family basis, on a national basis, it happens that way. I'd like to encourage you now church members and Christians. Christmas time is coming, and what the world calls the spirit of Christmas is a wrong spirit. Better watch out for it. When they call alcohol spirits, it's the wrong spirit. Do you know there's church members and Christians that would not touch a drop of alcohol all year and do it at Christmas time? That's hypocrisy 101. If you got relatives coming, you keep your Christian testimony. There's going to be a challenge this year because Christmas Eve is going to be Sunday. I can't think of a better place to be than God's house. So, well, my church don't have Sunday night services. Well, we do. We still believe the house of God's very important. Let's be a testimony for the Lord all year, but let's certainly be a testimony on the day that we celebrate his birth. Amen. All right, folks, thank you.